We greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty, and the Holy Ghost. We thank the Lord for another opportunity and blessing to come before you and to share with you the word of life. We pray that this day may find you blessed and prosperous, growing in Jesus' name. In beginning, we just want to give a word of prayer as we start this new lesson. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for whoever is listening to this recording. May the words be something that will edify and glorify you as this person begins to grab a hold of gospel truth. Lord, may they continue to grow in it day by day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm very excited to share with you a word today that we did in our Bible study in December. And we are just so excited about some of the things that the Lord showed us. And we pray that it may be an encouragement to you. Now, as you're looking online, there is a form there in which you can download and copy so that you may follow us as we go along with the teaching. There are several lines. There's an outline and lines where you can write down the things that we instruct you to write down so that you can go back and read and study them in days to come. Our topic is handling rejection. Handling rejection. Our scripture is taken from John the 6th chapter, verse 37, and we're only going to read the latter part of that scripture, as you will see at the top of the page if you've already run off your copy and if you're looking at it with me. And it reads as follows: "And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." This is Jesus speaking here and speaking a deep truth that we can know that if we come to him, he won't refuse us and he won't deny us. And when we look at the topic, handling rejection, the first thing we need to do is define the term rejection. The word rejection, as you'll see on your paper, there's a question that says, what is rejection? There are three things we want you to write up there. The first thing to write is to be excluded deliberately from social relationship or social reaction. Now, with this, you can always run this tape back if I'm talking too fast. We do want to redeem the time so that this will be covered in a shorter amount of time. When we were in Bible study, it took us about three studies to do it, which amounted to about 3 hours. But we're wanting to do this in 20 to 25 minutes. So we're just going to tell you what to write down. And if you have a question and need to write down again, just rewind the tape and you can be reminded of what was said. Okay, so what is rejection? The first definition is to be excluded deliberately from social relationships or social reaction. The second definition is being bullied, teased, or ridiculed. That's the second definition. Now, these two definitions so far gives us an idea of what rejection is and the feeling that we get. Now, I know all of us can relate in one way or another how sometimes we felt like people deliberately avoided us or didn't include us as a part of their circle or their group. And we felt like, if you will, the fifth wheel of a four wheel situation. The third definition to write down has a two-part, and I know there are two lines in this section. Just squeeze it under that second line if your writing can be big like mine can at times. Write this down as the third definition. Ignoring a person. The feeling of worthlessness. All of that is on one line. So you can put a semicolon between that. So that's ignoring a person, semicolon. The feeling of worthlessness. When a person or you're being ignored, it's a form of rejection. You ask a person a question, they act just like they didn't hear you. Or how many times have you been in a store and other people are standing around and the lady at the counter or the gentleman at the counter is not doing anything, and other people are there, but they're not being waited on. And you go to the counter, and the person looks to another person and say, "Can I help you?" and completely ignores you. Now, even though that may be a small thing in the sight of some, that feeling makes us really feel kind of bad. And depending on your cultural and social status, somebody gonna get in a little trouble, or somebody gonna get told off. Somebody gonna get told off royally. So it is important to remember that rejection is a normal part of life. Sometimes people don't do it intentionally, and then sometimes they deliberately do it. Now, this particular Bible study is about that particular scenario. When people intentionally reject you, how are we going to deal with it? Now, in our second section, we want to talk about what I call the cycle of rejection. Because rejection, as this topic says, this next section says, rejection breeds rejection. All right? There are four stages. Now, I'm going to explain this before you start writing it down. You will see under rejection breeds rejection, you have rejection, worthlessness, self-hate, and negative behavior. See, what happens to explain, what happens is you're rejected. Then you feel worthless, or you feel low, or you feel saddened. And the third thing that happens after you feel worthless and saddened, you begin to feel a bit of self-hate. Now, we want to say to you, now, this may be not an extreme for you, and you may say, well, I don't really feel all that, but a form of it comes up in you because this is just part of the human experience. And then the next stage after self-hate is negative behavior. You do something that is very negative because you're feeling this way. And what happens is when you do the negative behavior, you get rejected again because you're displaying negative behavior. So the cycle keeps going on, and that's why the first section is entitled Rejection Breeds Rejections. Two things I want you to write down under that. The first thing is rejection brings on feelings of worthlessness. Feeling worthless brings on self-hate. All right? So rejection breeds rejection. And I'm just repeating what I just basically said. So number one, rejection brings on feelings of worthlessness. Feelings of worthlessness brings on self-hate. Number two, under rejection brings rejection, self-hate incites negative behavior to get rid of pain. You want to get rid of that pain. And continue writing, negative behavior produces rejection. Repeating again for number two, self-hate incites negative behavior to get rid of pain. Then put a dash, write this, negative behavior produces rejection. So that is a summary of why when we get rejected, it gets worse if we don't break the cycle. We'll keep getting rejected. And this is the reason why we have children who come from homes where they're not affirmed or they're not given anything positive, and then they begin to act up because then they feel worthless, they feel bad, so they act up, and then they're given attention, even though it's negative attention, they're still given attention by the parent, and the parent doesn't know that they're feeding into the child being more rejected. And we'll deal with some more examples in just a minute. But let's go on to the first stage of rejection, which is just the rejection itself. Now, as we go through this, you will see that there are scriptures that are written beside each stage. The first stage is that says rejection, where you reject it. Now, what I want you to do, you're going to write down under this, because we're fighting that rejection. We're dealing with it. And these are things that you will need to read to yourself and memorize, so that when the feeling comes, you'll be able to deal with it before it gets gone too far. All right. Rejection, John 15:9. The Bible says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Okay. Now, before we begin writing, we're going to pose a scenario and we're going to walk it through with each stage so that you'll get a better picture of what I mean, how rejection breeds worthlessness, breeds self-hate, breeds negative behavior. We're going to take the example of a child who comes home from school. He may be in a single parent home, or he may be with a mother and father in the home, or he may be raised by an aunt or grandmother or something, or another family member. But for the sake of argument, we're going to call this boy Little Johnny. And we're going to say that Johnny is raised by his mother because his father is somewhere. We'll just leave it at that. Leave that to your imagination. And as he goes to his mother, and the relationship that they have is one in which his mother is busy working. She works an 8-hour job. She works part-time. She has someone to watch him until she gets home from her second job. And she needs to do both of these jobs to make ends meet. So by the time she gets home, she's tired. He looks just like his daddy, so that can be aggravating to her. She's had a lot of attitudes from coworkers to deal with at both jobs. So what it's like is she's been rejected herself all day. Now, little Johnny has come home because not only did he not do well on his math homework, but he also got bullied today by a boy that was bigger than him, that pushed him around and made him feel bad. So, all right, little Johnny already has felt rejected. Now, we read from John 15:9, and we're going to read from Psalm 66:20 in just a second. But here's what I want you to write down. Number one, just because someone rejects me doesn't mean that everyone rejects me. Just because someone rejects me doesn't mean that everyone rejects me. Johnny comes home. Hi, Mom. Hey, boy, how you doing? Go on, take your coat off and get ready for dinner. She doesn't ask him about his day because she's had a rough day herself. And most of her adult friends she talks to on the phone after he goes to bed, or maybe during the time she's fixing dinner. Or she may talk to him on the phone or text him during the day. So to talk with a child regarding her problems or rejections or feelings of inadequacy is out of the question. She's just going to try to be a good mother, provide for him, and make sure that he gets his work and he gets in bed. He gets a full meal. He gets in bed and he gets up in the morning. He's clothed. He has all the affinities of life, if you understand what I'm saying. But remember that Johnny has felt rejected. His mother has even felt some rejection herself. A boss that doesn't want to give her a raise. Co-workers that whisper behind her back. And a situation at the job where she did not get invited to the Christmas party. So you have two people that are in a situation of rejection. All right, now, Johnny comes home and mother tells him to go ahead and get ready for dinner. He tries to explain to his mother as he's talking that he didn't do good on his math homework because he didn't understand it. Mother says to him, what's wrong with you? You've been doing good in math before. You ain't no dummy, and don't act like no dummy. And don't act. You hold your head up when I'm talking to you. Okay. She's frustrated. She's tired from the day. She's disappointed that he's not done well on his work. But the frustration is coming out, and she's not intentionally doing it, but it's coming out. So Johnny feels rejected because mom is not really listening or having any type of compassion. She doesn't know that he was bullied today. She'll find it out later. Second thing to write down, to remember under rejection, Jesus loves me no matter what others choose to do. Jesus loves me no matter what others choose to do. So even though the folks at your job may not have invited you to the party, remember the Lord loves you. We read from John 15:9 that the Lord loves you as Christ loves you and the Father loves you. Okay, write this down as number 3. Just because someone withholds love from me doesn't mean everyone will. Let's look at Psalm 66:20. The Bible says, praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love for me. Isn't that great? God hasn't rejected me. He hasn't rejected my prayer. And he hasn't held love for me. Withheld love for me. Now, the boy, he didn't feel no love coming from that bully. Neither did his mother feel any love coming from her co-workers at both jobs. But they needed to be reminded that just because others are not... they not feeling the love from other folk don't mean that there's not that the Lord don't love them and that there's somebody else in the world. These are not the only people in your life, so you don't have to think that they that just because they reject you that everybody does. And the fourth thing to write down on the rejection is this: God will never, and listen to what I'm saying, God will never withhold his love for me, as we saw in Psalm 66:20. Are you getting a feel of what we're trying to get to? We still got Johnny and Mama at the house, and they're still talking, but this is the first stage. Okay, both have felt rejection. Johnny felt rejection from his mother and probably from some of his peers, and probably from his teacher because of the bad grade he made. Mom feels rejection from coworkers, being rejected as a part of the group, and just feeling tired, because sometimes feeling physically tired can cause you to misinterpret other types of signals. So let's move on. Now let's go to the next stage. The next stage is worthlessness. As we feel that rejection, there's a feeling, there's a low self-esteem feeling. Write this down as number 1 on the worthlessness. Just because someone may think that I am worthless doesn't mean everyone thinks I'm worthless. And then for the second thing to write down, God has already established my worth. Let's look at Luke the 12th chapter and verse 6 and 7. The Bible says, are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. I believe the Bible lets us know that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. So you are worth something. But Johnny and his mama ain't feeling it. His mama's not feeling it. Johnny's not feeling it. Her rejection causes him to feel rejected by her and to add on to other rejection. So the co-workers made her feel worthless. But the reminder is, you are worth more than sparrows. God cares for them, but you are so worthy. You are so worth, full of worth to the Lord. He loves you. So remember that and affirm yourself with that every day, because sometimes people don't, they ain't sharing the love. They ain't showing it. They going through their own thing, or maybe they don't love you at all. But know this, that God always loves you. Amen. All right, let's move on. We're still on worthlessness. The third thing to write down is this: just because someone doesn't value me doesn't mean that no one values me. Just because someone doesn't value me doesn't mean no one values me. Number 4, God valued me enough to send Jesus. Let's look at John 3:16, which I think everybody knows by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So you see, God values so much that he sent the very best, which is Jesus. Sure, Johnny didn't feel valued as the bully pushed him around and hit him a couple of times. He was afraid to strike back because he didn't want to get in trouble. He already made a bad grade in math. His mother, who is trying so hard to provide a living for them, is not respected or accepted at work. Maybe she's made some statements about being a Christian or going to church, and they're just not hearing that. They're not showing her no love. They're letting her be last when anything is being picked as far as advances or salary. And it gave her a feeling of worthlessness and giving her a feeling that she has no value. But know this, you have value. You have value. God values you. You are very valuable. Maybe not to some people, but you are valuable. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. The scripture says in the 8th division of Psalm, what is man that thou art mindful of him, nor the son of man that thou visited him? Behold, thou madest him a little lower than the angel. God loves you, his creation. You're special. You're special in his sight, so much that he sent his only begotten son. Let's move on to the next one. The next stage after worthlessness is self-hate. Self-hate. Write this down for number one. Just because someone has rejected me doesn't mean I should hate myself. And number two, God has always loved me and I can rely on him. Let me repeat those again. Just because someone has rejected me doesn't mean I should hate myself. That's number one. Number two, God has always loved me and I can rely on him. Let's look at 1 John 4 and 16. The Bible says, we know and rely on the love God has for us, for God is love. 1 John 4 and 16. So just because you're feeling rejected, and just because somebody has rejected you, you shouldn't hate yourself because of that. So, so many times we'll say, oh, that was stupid. That was stupid what I did. Why did I do that? I know better. I know better. And I'm just not going to do, I'm going to not be around anybody because I just really messed up. Don't hate yourself. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody fails. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us are exception. The only exception is Jesus. You name it, somebody, they've made a mistake. They've sinned. They've come short. Nobody but Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God. Amen. Two more things to write down under self-hate. Just because someone has rejected me doesn't mean I should conform or condemn myself. Just because someone has rejected me doesn't mean I should conform or condemn myself. In other words, don't conform yourself to what they say that you are, the negative stuff. They say you're stupid. They say you're ugly. They say you're crazy. Don't conform yourself to that. And then don't condemn yourself and say they must be right. Fourth thing to write down, and I know there's only three lines on this, so just squeeze it under there. And there's room down at the bottom and on the back of the sheet to make notes, to add extra stuff. Fourth thing to write down under self-hate, God will never condemn me because I am in Christ's family. God will never condemn me because I am Christ's family. You are part of the family of God. You are a son or daughter of the Almighty Most High God. You are in fellowship. You are in conjunction with the Holy Ghost. There's no need of feeling of hating yourself because God has been too good. Let's look at Romans 8 and 1. There is therefore now no condemnation. You hear that? No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You can continue to read these scriptures as after we finish with this study and get them deep in your spirit, and you will begin to sense the moving of the Holy Spirit as he shows you who you are in Christ. The last thing, or then the last stage, is negative behavior. We've come from rejection, then we feel worthless, then we feel self-hate. Then self-hate leads to negative behavior. It causes us to do something that we shouldn't do that is negative because we feel negative and so we act negative. Write this down. Four things to write down on the negative behavior, and then we're going to be finished. And we're going to finish with Johnny and his mama. just because someone has rejected me doesn't mean I should act destructively. That's the first thing to write down. Just because someone has rejected me doesn't mean I should act destructively. Don't hurt yourself. Don't do stuff that you know going to get you in trouble. Don't continue to rant and rave just because you're feeling rejected and you're feeling low and you're feeling, why did I do this? Why did I act so stupid? Don't feel that way. Let's go back to Johnny and Mama. Johnny, because Mama says, boy, you know better. You ain't no dummy. Don't hold your head up. That type of thing. You ain't no dummy. You know, you did better than that. What's wrong? Are you slipping? What's wrong with you? That kind of thing. Instead of affirming or consoling him or trying to find out. Now, she's tired, so we understand that. But sometimes these words can cause of feelings of rejection. And so now Johnny feels worthless because he's made a very bad score on his math test. And because of that, he begins to say, I should have studied harder. I am stupid. I must be retarded because that's what the bully called me today. He called me retarded. And because of that, he now is going to go into a mode of negative behavior. He sticks his lip out, crosses his arm, and rolls his eyes at his mama and tries to walk away. Well, in my day, that'd have been my mama, I'd have felt the back of my head being slapped with a hand or a switch on my legs as I turned away. Nowadays it's a little bit different, but for those who can relate, you know what I mean. Johnny gets mad and he pouts and he may kick the table or knock a lamp over because he's acting out from the rejection. Now, I know I'm blowing the things out of proportion, but I want you to see how negativity, accepting negativity in your spirit, will cause you to act negative. This is in any area of life. When you are rejected, you're going to fight back in some kind of way and do some things that may not be wise to do. So keep this in mind so that you can break the cycle. Because what happens is when Johnny kicks the lamp, folds his arm, rolls his eyes, knocks over a lamp or kicks the table, now he is going to get rejected again because his mama is going to pop him upside the head, or nowadays she's going to send him to his room. That's more rejection. She's rejected him again. So you see how now he's even more rejected than when he first started. Okay, what about Mom? All right, Mom, because of the rejection she felt from her job, cursed out one of her coworkers just because she didn't look at her right. All right, we didn't tell you that part of the story because we want you to see how all of this plays in a part. So because of her feeling of being left out, she wasn't invited to the Christmas party. They did Secret Santa. She went on a lunch break, but they could have wrote her name down. And they don't halfway talk to her no way. All right, now that she's back and everybody's trading, they have their own little party, nobody's apologizing for not inviting her because they don't like her anyway. And so one girl says, well, I guess you just have to sit and look. That ticked her off. And so Mama cussed out her coworker. Now, the supervisor, the co-worker went and told the supervisor and because of her negative behavior. And the supervisor says, we're going to have to lay you off a half a day next week in punishment for that. So now she feels even more rejected from her negative behavior. And if she's not careful, she's going, with the rejection that she feels from her negative behavior, she's going to get on that phone, call that coworker, or go by her house and say, look what you've done. But we want to stop all that, all right? So that's why we're saying you don't have to behave destructively just because you've been rejected. Don't act out. Remember from the scripture, let's turn to Galatians 6 and 7. The Bible says, do not be deceived. God it cannot be mocked. The man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. You reap what you sow. So you do something negative, you break something, you're going to reap it. It's going to come right back on you. So if you do something bad, something destructive, it's going to come back on you. But remember what we said online. One says, just because someone has rejected me doesn't mean I should act destructively. But line two, I want you to write this down. This is very important. Since I will pay for my bad choices and reward it for the good ones, I choose. Somebody ought to say, I choose. I choose to make good decisions. Because I know I'm going to reap what I sow. So I'm going to use wisdom. I'm not going to blow up anymore. Johnny, who's a child, needs to learn this. And his mother will teach him this. Kicking the lamp, rolling your eyes, stomping out of room is only going to cause things to get worse. You're going to have to pay for it. You know, you're going to pick up that lamp and put it back on the thing. You're going to move the table back in place. If you broke the lamp, I'm going to take the money that I was going to buy them sneakers with and the Game Boy or whatever they do nowadays. I'm going to take that money and use it to fix the table, and you're not going to get it. You know, so you have to pay for your the consequences of your actions. All right, let's move on. Two more things and then we're finishing. Write this down. Number three, under negative behavior, just because someone has rejected me doesn't give me license to do what is wrong. Two wrongs don't make a right. Just because someone has rejected me doesn't give me license to do what is wrong. You don't have permission to do what is wrong. Especially as a child of God, you're to uphold the light. I know you want to do something wrong, but at this time, this is the time to pray. This is the time to remember the word of God, that we're going to reap what we sow. This is the time to walk in the peace of God. This is the time to yield to God. Now, one more thing to write down. We'll give you the scripture and then we'll be finished. Number four, God has given me the power. Somebody say the power. God has given me the power to do right. God has given me the power to do right. Let's look at Genesis 4 and 7. God is speaking here to Cain. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Right? All right. Now, what does God is saying, giving Cain full as his counselor, God is saying to him, look, what are you mad about? Just because I accepted Abel's offering and didn't accept yours, you can make it right, Cain. You don't have to act out. But Cain, in his jealousy and his anger and in his rejection, acted out. And he killed his brother. Okay. So we see Johnny acting out, and we see his mother acted out today. But you don't have to act out. Now, is there a good ending to this story? Of course there is. Mama goes upstairs to Johnny and says to him, I'm sorry that I got angry at you and didn't listen to you, because I know it's been very hard for you. So know this, that I love you. You see, she's bringing him back in. She's realizing that it wasn't all his fault with the bully. Yes, he needs to study more. Perhaps she can curtail some of the extra computer activity so he can get into his books. Or it could be the intimidation from the bully that's causing him not to be able to concentrate. Whatever the case, she's going to take that time out, put herself in low gear, and consider her child's need and pray. So they come together and pray. Dear Jesus, please forgive us for acting out. We've both felt rejected. We've been through some things today. Forgive us. Let us know that you love us unconditionally and you're there for us. And as they pray, they hug, and Mama can now say, all right, it's going to be okay. We're going to deal with your situation. We're going to help you with your homework. And whoever that bully is, we're going to speak to the teacher tomorrow. We'll call her in the morning and find out who this is. And we also want to tell you, you talk to yourself, look at yourself and know, look at yourself in the mirror and know that you, that mommy loves you, you are somebody, and you are my little man, and you are strong enough to stand up to anybody in wisdom and in power because God loves you. Thank you so much for allowing me this opportunity. We pray that you got something out of this. I certainly did enjoy it because I could relate in my own personal way of the rejection I had coming along, and I'm sure you can too. But I've learned something from this. God loves me more than I could ever imagine, and He loves you too. So remember this, the Lord loves you. He does not reject you or cast you away. Be blessed today. Know that you are a child of God, and go on in Jesus' name. Amen.